to the first dua that we'll go through, and then next week we'll go through the du'as to be said for anxiety and stress, for depression and sadness. And I think it's really beautiful that in all six books of the Sunan, the major six books, you find a chapter on what the Prophet said when he was anxious. Like, subhanAllah, that makes the Prophet so much more beloved to me. Because someone tells us, like, well, if you feel anxious, your iman is weak. Or, like, someone tells us if you feel down, it means, like, you're not a very religious person. But, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik says, إِذَا أَهَمَّهُ, when something would bother the Prophet, when something would disturb him, he would make these du'as, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll unpack those next week, inshallah. Today, though, we're going to talk about another subject that someone likes to talk about a lot, and that's al-istikhara. The word istikhara means to ask someone to choose what's best for you. Khair. So when I say astakhiruk, it means like, I have two choices, I'm asking you to choose for me. Or something that's not clear. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's like really beautiful narrations about this prayer that we make. He said, you know, from the pleasure, sa'adat, from the pleasure of Ibn Adam is kathratu istikhara. Like something that brings people happiness is that they make istikhara a lot. And he said, min shiqawat Ibn Adam, and from something that upsets people or brings them a sense of sadness or regret is that they tark istikhara, like they left making istikhara. And that hadith is a good hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, like, ma khaba, like the person who makes istikhara will never have regrets. Could mean in the hereafter, right? And the person who makes istishara, who like talks with people and consults, will also never have regrets. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How important is istikhara? You know, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah. He said, كَانَ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْاِسْتِخَارَ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا الْقُرْآنَ أو سُورَةَ الْقُرْآنَ. He said, like the Prophet taught us istikhara like he taught us a chapter of the Qur'an. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's talk about this incredible supplication, and then tomorrow, if you're signed up, we'll send you the transliterization that will help you, inshallah. And we're going to answer some questions that people tend to ask about istikhara. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah and khair, inshallah, in our efforts. So, we know that this is so important because this dua contains two components, the salah and the dua. And if you think about it, that's like really unique. We have like three types of dua that are coupled with two rakat. Number one is what's called Salat al-Tawbah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever commits a major sin and a short time later prays two rak'ah, and then they ask Allah to forgive them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. The second is what's called Salat al-Hajjah. When we have a need, like you were saying, sister, earlier, trying to like accomplish something really important, yista'inu bi sabri wa salah. So we pray two rak'ah, and then we make dua. We also have Salat al-Istisqa, where we actually make the dua in the prayer for rain, for example. And then also we have Salat al-Istikhara. Al-Istikhara, we pray two rakat and then we make dua. Someone has told sisters, someone with a capital letter, Mr. Someone or Mrs. Someone, that when you're menstruating, you can't make istikhara because you can't pray the two rakat. Again, hit mute on someone. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the sound hadith, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, whatever I commanded you, do it as best you can. Istita'a means mental ability, emotional ability, and physical ability. And when one of those is compromised, then the command can change. For example, we're commanded to pray standing, but if somebody can't stand when they pray, the Prophet said they can what? They can sit. This is an example of this axiom. Commands are based on ability. It's one of the foundational axioms of our religion, subhanAllah. Al-amr mabni ala istita'ah. Inshallah, we may do in the summer, because I'm going to be here, a 4 or 5 weekend session on the 40 hadith of An-Nawi with Ijaza, with Sanad, back to Sayyidina An-Nawi. And this is one of the hadith in that 40 hadith book. It's like so important in framing how I live my life as a Muslim. So for example, you're on a plane, you're going to LA, or you're coming from LA. You got to pray. But you know, if you stand up and pray, if you're me, that ain't happening, because you're not in like business class. You're back, you know, in the peanut section, right? So there's not enough room. So how am I going to pray on the plane? If I know this axiom, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to make wudu. I'm going to sit in the chair. I'm going to pray. Al-amr mabni ala istita'ah. Sometimes people say that they're out with their children and they're the only parent with their child, and they got to pray. So like, I'm scared, like if I leave my kids at Albee Square Mall back in the days in Brooklyn, if you know what that mall is, you should repent, right? It was a long time ago. But, you know, I couldn't like just drop my kids and pray. So here you can join the prayers according to the Malikis and the Hanbalis. Why? Commands based on ability. So this axiom like permeates everything in our deen, every command. So if we were to take this axiom now, let's say a woman has to make a very serious decision, but she's not able to pray 2 rak'ah, can she still make the dua? Based on that axiom, what's your answer? Of course, man. Al-amr mabni ala istita'ah. I met so many people told them, don't make istikhara. Like, don't make istikhara. No, you're going to do your best with whatever you can do. People have also told me, especially converts, like, people told them you can't make istikhara because you don't speak Arabic. Well, so I asked them, does someone speak Arabic? Or does someone read Arabic? And they're like, yeah, I actually asked someone, and someone told me they themselves don't read it. Well, then how is their istikhara accepted? We should always give people answers that open the relationship with Allah, not close the relationship with Allah, based on ability. So Jabir, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Prophet كان يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi used to teach us to make istikhara in every situation. I'm going to talk about that quickly though. You don't make istikhara for a fard. Like, you know, I don't know, should I pray Fajr or not? Let me make istikhara. Well, I'm going to bed. This has been real. Secondly, we don't make istikhara for the sunnah. Istikhara is made in issues that are permissible, but we're not clear. Like, there's not clarity. So should I take this job or that job? Should I move to this city or not? Should I marry this person or not? Should, you know, I buy this or that? That's where istikhara comes in. So it's really important to remember this, that generally istikhara is not made in good things. So for example, one time my teacher, he's like, can you give the khutbah tomorrow? I was like, I need to make istikhara. He's like, no. You don't make istikhara on this. Like, this is something that's fard kifaya. Right? I was like, oh, okay, I just don't want to do it. Second is like the sunnah. Like, you know, I don't know, should I fast the 6 days of Shawwal? I don't know, let me make istikhara. Like, that's not where we make istikhara. Similarly, also with the forbidden. Like, should I, like, you know, I don't know, whatever, do something like super heinous or not? Let me make istikhara. There's no istikhara in the haram, because the foundation of haram is at-tark, is to avoid it, to leave it. Of course, if someone was stuck between a rock and a hard place, between Daenerys or being the king of the north, right? Maybe that's a situation where you would want to make istikhara with the haram. okay? I watched a clean version. But I made istikhara. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, rarely, and that sometimes happens with people who are new to Islam, like, should I do this or that? Which one is the lesser of the problem? But usually we're not making istikhara for, like, should I go clubbing or should I go smoke weed with my friends? Let me make istikhara. Okay. Well, I guess it's blessed now. Come on. Don't play with the deen. And also the makruh. But sometimes we need to engage in the makruh. For example, if you have to go to an office party and they're serving alcohol at the office party, according to the majority of scholars, it's makruh to be there. But you know, it's your job, so you gotta be in that room. So those are the type of situations that would need to be unpacked. But in general, we make listikhara about permissible things which we're confused about. So next time someone asks you, hey, like, you want to go listen to Sheikh Omar Suleiman? Oh, let me make istikhara. That's not where you make istikhara. That's khair. There's fada'il there. So when he says that the Prophet taught us istikhara in all affairs, what he meant are the permissible things. Not things for which there's a clear ruling or there's a clear virtue mentioned in the text. And he said that the Prophet said, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ, meaning that if you find yourself taking a situation very seriously, or something's bothering you, or you want to set out to do something, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ, you should pray two rak'ah. Does it mean you should just make two rak'ah? Like if we're hyper-literalist, right? If we're to read this hadith literally, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ would mean to do what? Just make two rak'ah. Right, I made two rak'ah, what's up? But what does it actually mean? Salah. But why would the Prophet mention ruku'? Because ruku' is one important component of salah. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes mention sujood? Wasjood. Because sujood is one of the more important components of salah. But then also, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waqumu lillahi qaniteen mention standing in prayer? Because standing in prayer is one of the what? More important components of salah. And also Allah mentions reading the Quran in salah and making dhikr in salah. So here's my question. This is unique to salah, by the way. In Arabic, if you want to show something's really important, you isolate a particular of it. If you want to show that particular is important. So for example, you know, like if you want to emphasize, like, sorry to give this example for my Knicks fans, Kyrie and the Celtics, right? Or KD and the Warriors. Like, why do they mention KD in isolation? To show how important he is to the universal. Same thing in Arabic. Why is the Prophet mentioning ruku'? To show that in the universal, for our lawyers, you're going to love this, the universal of salah is beautiful, but this particular is really important. See what's happening in Arabic? So the Prophet says, فَلْيَرْكَ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. But my question is, every aspect of salah, this happens. Sometimes the Prophet mentions standing, sometimes he mentioned ruku', sometimes he mentioned sujood, sometimes he mentioned reciting the Qur'an, sometimes he mentioned remembering Allah. This happens also in the Qur'an, as if to say every single component of salah is important. In itself. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ, they should pray two rak'ah, مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَ, outside of the fard prayers. And he said, then the person should say, meaning they finish the prayer, they pray two rak'ah, if they can, and then they make dua. So they begin by praising Allah, sending peace upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says they should say Allahumma. Allahumma is translated as O God. But Allahumma actually, if you look at it, at the end of it is this meme. Allahumma. In Arabic, if I want to talk to one person, how do I address them? I say what? Anta. You. But if I want to talk to a group of people, what do I say? Antum. Meme. In its pattern as it's used in Arabic, meme oftentimes signifies plurality. Remember this, it's really beautiful. So, anta is you. Antum, all of you. Huwa or hiya, she or he. But if I want to say they, what do I say? Hum, meme. So you see this pattern. Meme always, usually, signifies plurality. So when I say Allahumma, that means I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all of his names and attributes. It's called Mimul Jama'. This is like so beautiful, man. So when I say Allahumma, I'm calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all of the names and attributes I know and don't know. Of course, infinity. So the person says, Allahumma, oh Allah, inni astakhiruk, indeed I seek your choice for me in what's good. And I do so bi ilmik, with your knowledge. Wa astaqdiruk, and I seek your power to give me the ability either to accomplish the task or to stay away from the task. Biqudratik, so I seek power and the ability and agency through your power. Wa as'aluka min fadlika al-'azim, and I ask you from your blessings, your great blessings, your infinite blessings. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِيرٌ, because you have authority. And here we see a pattern in dua to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's transcendence and then to ask Him by that transcendent quality. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, then what? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, and then I ask. So recognition of Allah, recognition of myself. You have the power, I don't have the power. You know, I don't know. So I seek your help with my agency. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِيرُ وَلَا أَقْدِيرُ, because true power only rests in your hands. I don't have any true power, any true agency. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ, and you know all things, and I don't know all things. وَأَنْتَ عَلَامُ الْغُيُوبِ, and you know the unseen. Meaning what's unseen to me, what's unknown to me. There's no unknown to God. So the supplication opens up by the acknowledgement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's transcendence, the acknowledgement of our weaknesses, and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the power and the knowledge and the ability to be successful. Allahumma in kunta, and then, oh Allah. And this is something nice, like you could have just said, in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amra, but says Allah, again it's repeated, oh Allah. The feeling here is humility, need and reliance. Oh Allah. In kunta ta'lamu anna hadha al-amr, if it's in your knowledge, that this issue, and then the person says it. And again, you can say it in any language, right? So, in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr, you know, to take this job, or to marry this person, to make this important decision. خَيْرُ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي, is good for me in my religion, in my livelihood. وَعَقِبَةِ أَمْرِي, in my ending. As though our entire life was encapsulated in like four words. Deen, dunya, akhirah. And notice, subhanAllah, how this runs in opposition to the secular paradigm, which is if it's just good for my deen, my dunya. Or for people who framed religion as rahbaniyah, like no relationship to dunya. But here it says, well, dunya, ma'ashi, my life. As though, subhanAllah, it's Rabbana atina fid dunya, like as though this is capturing that beautiful dua that we're going to talk about later. My Lord, give me good in this life and the hereafter. The balance of Islam. So if you know, in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr, at that moment you say what it is, khayru is good, li, and beneficial for me. Fi dini, in my life, in my deen, wa ma'ashi, in my livelihood, wa aqibati amri, in my hereafter. فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي, then give me the agency to achieve it. Decree it for me. Make it easy for me. Facilitate it for me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي, and then bless it for me. Put blessings in it. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ, and if you know that this affair, شَرُّ لِي فِي دِينِ وَمَعَاشِ وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِ, is bad for my faith and my livelihood and my hereafter. فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي, and take it away from me. وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ, and take me away from it. وَقْدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانْ, and then decree for me good. Here it could also mean decree for me a sense of qina'a with your decision. Like, give me a sense of contentment with it. ثُمَّ رَدِّنِي بِي, and then give me that happiness and that contentment with your decision. This is like a really, really powerful dua, man. And it's super important. But there's a few points that we'll make and then we'll finish, insha'Allah ta'ala. The first is that someone tends to tell people, like, after you make this dua, you have to see a dream. I know they recently named a street after Biggie in Brooklyn. It was all a dream. I get it. But it was all a dream. Doesn't work with istikhara. First of all, because we don't believe that rulings can be taken from dreams. Like, this is one of the foundational principles of our usul. Because, like, if that was the case, the world would be chaos. Like, if we all functioned on our dreams, it would be chaos. Right? But then people say, but the Prophet said that dreams are a sixth of prophethood, a fourth of prophethood. There's different narrations from Bukhari. Juz'un min ajza'in nubuwa. Another narration says, like, a part of prophethood. But what that means is, if I dream something and then later on it happens, it's been verified in that way. Because the Prophet, he would see a dream and then it would what? It would happen, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he was a prophet. So no one should, like, we make istikhara and then wait for a dream. And oftentimes I've seen people make really crucial bad decisions on this. They'll be like, well, you know, I made istikhara, I saw this person eating German chocolate, and I hate German chocolate, so I ended it. I'm so lonely. Now I eat my vanilla ice cream by myself. So, right? I'm not being cynical, but I've seen this happen. It's like upsetting, right? More important than any dream, and that's why it's called istikhara, is to try, to make effort. So, the person eats German chocolate, you like, I don't know, man, banana fudge. Go to a marriage therapist and see if you can work through banana fudge and German chocolate. Maybe German chocolate is good for you. Do you want to marry yourself? No, seriously, I tell people that. Like, you want to marry you? If you say yes, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then stay alone, right? But the point is, those dreams, we should not give them as much attention as we give the actual investment and effort in investigation. So put in work. Get to know the person. Get to know the situation. Get to know the job. Understand the city that you may be asked to move to. Like, have some kind of tangible, empirical experience that should be the foundation. Now, of course, if you see, like, Sayyidina Muhammad in your dream saying, no, don't, you'll go to hell, okay, then we can have a conversation. But usually it's a very ambiguous dream, right? Like, I was a Liverpool fan and I saw the person wearing a Manchester jersey, so I ended it. Why? Right? that kind of decision is a mess. The second thing is, no holy person should be making istikhara for you, or your parents, or your brother, or someone online. I don't know, whoever we met, right? Istikhara has to be done by you. And I worry sometimes, recently someone asked me this question, like I asked someone, you know, they told me they'll make istikhara for me. How? Right. I worry sometimes that we rest our community between a sense of like intimidation and muting of personal agency and then just like absolute freedom. Like, there's a balance, right? But ultimately, you should be making decisions for yourself in consultation with your family or friends. I tell my daughter, when she asks me to make decisions for her, I say, baby, I'm salt on the food, but you're the lahma. You're the meat, I'm the salt. She's like, I don't like a lot of salt. Exactly, just sprinkle Baba a little bit. She's like, but I was like, yeah, I want you to learn how to make decisions. Like, I trust you, and if you fail, I'll pick you up. If you fail really bad, don't call me. Right? But the point is, and I understand that's not, unfortunately, how things play out. We have to really encourage parents to be advisors, not supervisors, man. But ultimately, it has to come from you. The third thing is, and I mentioned this a second ago, is make effort. So I'm going to take this job or that job. I'm going to move to Staten Island. I'm going to move to Long Island, right? Let me research. Let me understand. And then let me see, like, which one is best for me? Like, what's going to make me internally happy, externally happy, and think about the three things mentioned in the dua. It's good for my deen, it's good for my dunya, it's good for my akhirah. That's the three, that's why the Prophet mentioned them. That should be how I measure it. What are those things that are gonna help me achieve that in a way that fulfills me? Then that should be what pushes me to make the decision. The last point that we'll make is sometimes people try and things don't work out. Or sometimes we may feel like, that was my istikhara, but like, it wasn't good for me. I've had that experience myself. And it's not easy, right? We live in an age now where it's easy to become bitter with God. It's a conversation, like, how do we talk about healing as a community spiritually? Like, there's a lot of anger, unfortunately. That's what postmodernity makes people mad and then takes the bottom out from under them so they have nothing to hold on to. And that's why, you know, people start to lose sometimes their spiritual grip. I'm going to say this, and I know it sounds kind of, I don't want to be like patronizing, but give it time. Like, there were things that happened to me early on in my life that I was really upset about. But then as I got older, I was like, you know what? That taught me a lot about things that I didn't know were in front of me. We use this quote a lot from The Hobbit, right? It's from The Lord of the Rings. All who wonder aren't lost, right? Sometimes pain actually later on in life comes back to help us. Sometimes difficult moments allow us to be better people. It's true. So don't close the chapter till the chapter's closed. You know, subhanAllah, how my wife and I met? My wife and I met through the same matchmaker because we were both like, we're done. I'm going to live the life of a monk and move to Brooklyn and eat kale and do Tabata till I die. And my wife was like, I'm done. Same matchmaker, right? It's our friend. We're talking to her and I was like, I'm so done. Muslims are crazy. They're bakwas. Excuse me. They're so bad. I'm finished. And my wife was the same. And then she calls me. I found the perfect person for you. Who is she? She's just like you. Banana fudge? Right? Nah, man, that cookie butter from Trader Joe's. Right? Great post-workout snack. But the point was, we have both been through things that, you know, rocked us in our histories, right? But ultimately found each other through that shared difficulty. So sometimes give that trauma time to take you somewhere.